Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm delighted to share my first series is in partnership with Heck, who, like me, do things differently. Being an independent and British family-owned business, they use the finest ingredients in small batches, pulling out all the stops to bring that farmer's market quality to the supermarket shelf. In addition to their delicious original range, they offer veggie options too, catering for absolutely everyone, all of which can be found online at heckfood.co.uk and in the major supermarkets too. Hello, and thank you so much for tuning in to Food for Thought, a podcast on a mission to simplify nutrition, equipping you with all the evidence-based advice you need to live and breathe a healthy lifestyle. I'm Rhiannon Lambert, Harley Street nutritionist, master practitioner, personal trainer, and best-selling author of Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well. I'm so excited to share my vision of food far beyond the confines of my clinic. I truly believe food should always be a positive aspect of life, offering enjoyment, fuel, and happiness for both the mind and body. I'll be joined by some very special guests, and we'll be talking about how to develop a healthy relationship with food. And what does that even mean? How does it make us feel? And how it can change our lives forever. Victoria McGrath has established herself as a style icon. With a PhD in fashion, she began her career teaching at the University of Manchester while speaking to a global audience with her award-winning fashion, beauty, and travel blog, In the Throw. No longer a lecturer, she remains a source of inspiration with a combined social media reach of nearly 2 million. Instantly recognizable for her ice blonde hair, this girl's career highlights include being a beauty ambassador for L'Oréal Paris, starring in the Prince's Trust campaign to champion confidence in young people, and working with global brands including Burberry, Dior, Hugo Boss, Armani, and so many more, it was impossible to list them all right here. Since meeting her a few years ago, I've followed her every move. I can't wait for her up-and-coming book, The New Fashion Rules, to come out. And I'm absolutely thrilled that she's here with me today. Hello, Victoria.
Hello. Hi.
I can't believe in your busy schedule. So you were in France yesterday.
Yep. Last night I got back. Mm-hmm. So I'm just so happy to be here today.
Well, we are happy to have you. And I think there's so much to cover having someone like yourself on the show. I mean, from teaching at uni, becoming the ultimate girl boss. I'm immensely proud of you.
It's
an incredible thing. And I thought we'd delve into the first question being, how has your relationship with food over the years kind of evolved?
Oh, wow. Okay. Big question to start with. Okay, so starting off with, I'm a huge foodie. Big time.
Yeah.
It's my favourite way to socialise. It's like my favourite thing generally, I would say. It's the thing I spend my money on the most, probably. Going out constantly. I love just going out with friends or with Alex, going to a beautiful restaurant, sitting down, just having a glass of wine.
You can't beat it, can you?
No, it's such a lovely thing to do at the end of the day. It just relaxes you.
Totally.
I mean, why am I saying evening? Because, I mean, I love brunch. Brunch is like my favourite
brunch
thing.
Brunch is the new dinner, isn't it?
It really is. Me and Alex also do this thing, we call it Brinner, where we have breakfast for dinner.
There should be a hashtag out there.
Hashtag Brinner.
Hashtag Brinner.
Because it's just the best. But in terms of how my relationship with food has changed, I guess, I went pescatarian.
Yes.
In 2016, I want to say.
I know, where are we now? 2018, aren't 18. We? I always lose track these days, which is quite worrying.
I know, time is flying by. But it's about 2.5 years. I watched a documentary and it completely put me off meat. So I stopped eating meat. In time, I would also maybe like to cut out fish, but I must admit, I absolutely love fish.
Yeah.
I really do. And it's just, it's such a nice like, compliment to
I remember us discussing this when we did that panel event at Soho House. Well, that's also was in my mind when I was inviting you on. I thought, oh yeah, I remember you talking about these different things.
And yeah.
It's very interesting how we can see things and they can influence how we feel about things.
Absolutely. Yeah. So since then, I haven't touched meat. Mm-hmm. I have no desire to go back to it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's been times as well, I often dabble a lot with plant-based.
Yeah.
So I barely ever have dairy at all. It'll only be for the odd treat, I'll be honest. Now and again, if I have a little bit of ice cream.
Yeah.
But that's generally all it is in terms of dairy.
But that's why it's good. I think it's good that you're saying, you know, you don't label your food choice. You can choose whatever you want.
Yeah.
A little bit of something every now and again. It's up to you what you want to do.
Yeah. No, absolutely, absolutely. But otherwise, I do stay fairly plant-based with the inclusion of fish. So mainly it's just no meat, no dairy. Mm. And I mean, it suited me pretty well.
It's what suits you as a person, I think. And it's something I'm always trying to say as a nutritionist is that everyone is unique.
Yeah.
And there's no right or wrong.
No.
As long as you're the healthiest version of you that you can be, I am so happy to hear that. So it's wonderful you still get your fish. And I think, just to bring things back, because everyone's going to want to know, back to the whole Instagram kind of world and the photos, and I'm sure you're asked this a lot, but let's talk about the reality behind those perfect shots, because I know how much hard work goes into being self-employed. We were talking about it earlier before you came on, how to manage this. What do you do? I mean, there's never enough hours in the day.
Do you mean in terms of how do I set up the shots?
Yeah, how do you structure it? Do you have a set amount each week? Do you have a kind of app that uploads for you if you're on a plane or anything like that? Really?
Oh, I wish, can that happen
now? I don't know. I just came up with that. That wasn't a scheduled question.
To be honest, I'm a little bit more fluid with it than that. I think, I mean, if I have, say, a sponsored branded post in the week, that's a lot more kind of scheduled and it's in my schedule. But otherwise, I kind of base more of my Instagrams around outfits, to be honest.
Yeah.
If I get a new jacket or a new pair of boots I really want to shoot, I'll be like, Alex, let's go out. Let's go for a walk. Let's
he's
take
so
a picture.
He's
a cutie. He's so cute. Yeah, and to be honest, I do it more that way.
Mm.
And I mean, I've been uploading so much the past, 6 weeks because it's been Fashion Month.
It has. And I remember listening to a podcast where you said there's two times in the year when Fashion Month kind of happens and that is your calendar gone.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole month. I mean, it's been great though. It's been so productive. Mm. I've been really efficient. I've got loads done. It's been the best Fashion Month for me ever. It's been really, really wonderful. But because of that, because I'm constantly changing outfits and going here, then everywhere, me and Alex try and steal any time we can to take pictures.
Yeah.
And I mean, sometimes we have an hour and it's wonderful. Other times we literally have 10 minutes.
Oh, stressful.
Oh, gosh, I can't tell you.
Do you have, because I have this problem, is there a little fight that comes over the pictures?
Like, yes.
Yes.
Yes. If we haven't eaten.
Yes. Hangry moment.
Oh, my gosh. And if we have got 5 minutes and we're trying to find a location and we're on the way to the show and I'm like, we need to take a picture, let's find somewhere. You can never find anywhere to shoot. And then we start getting mad at each other because he's like, we've not got enough time. And I'm like, please just take the picture. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you remember what, because obviously congratulations, you're newly engaged.
Oh, thank you so
which
much.
When I saw the picture come out, I was just so happy for you.
Oh, thank you.
And I think it goes to show that you can work together and have a relationship, but it's a little bit tough, isn't it? Like you were saying.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people would find it very difficult, and we absolutely have. There's been some times it's been very, very hard work, but I think, because it's been about 2 years, 2.5 years now, and we've had our ups and downs with it. And I think we've got to a place now where we understand each other more.
Mm.
We can read signs. So if he's acting a certain way or I am, we know it's because something's happened, or we need to go get a coffee, or we need to go get like an energy bar.
You've just discussed, I mean, the whole food and mood thing is so true, isn't it?
Absolutely. It really does, like, rule us sometimes, yeah. to be honest.
Is his, is Alex's kind of eating behaviours the same as yours? Is he more pescatarian now?
Yeah. Do you know what, actually? So when I watched this documentary 2.5 years ago, I gave up meat. Mm. And we both went vegan, actually, for about 2.5 months. And we loved it. Yeah. Absolutely loved it. And I think that's around
that's
the time
when
we
met.
That's when
I met you. I remember discussing yes. it with you in the bar. Yeah.
Yeah. And I absolutely loved it. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. And it was when Fashion Month came around and we were in New York and we were finding it really difficult to find somewhere that was fully vegan to eat.
I can imagine. And even there's a difference even in the last 2 years of the yes. places for people
so
with different lifestyle
much.
Choices. Yeah.
Yes, we went recently and there's so many vegan cafes, yeah. but I feel like there weren't really then.
No.
And so I ate a bit of cheese and I ate a bit of fish and then it got yeah. me out of the routine, but I'd love to go back to that. Anyway, but Alex carried on with the meat up until maybe about a year or so ago. Yeah. And he's been meat free for about a year and he loves it.
Well,
and
this is just yeah. it. There's a misconception that guys have to be all, you know, I've got to have my steak and eat it kind of thing. And yeah. that's something that's quite important to hear other kind of male role models in a way and talking about.
Yeah.
You don't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be. Just as it seems to be a female stereotype going vegan as well.
Yeah.
Whereas it's a lifestyle choice. It's not just a fad. And
absolutely,
yeah, it's quite important to raise that. But with the blogging and the modeling now, it is one of the most, I would say, sought after careers these days. I'm sure you'd completely agree.
Yeah.
But what would you do, would you encourage young girls and boys to take it up, and what advice would you give them?
Ooh, I think when I started with the blogging, it was a full-on passion for writing yeah. about beauty and fashion.
Because that was while you were doing your PhD, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, so I was writing a PhD. I was also lecturing, and I love writing. I'm much better at this is an example right now. I'm much better at writing down exactly what I want to say than speaking it. I always have been.
Yep.
I've always been that person.
I find that, do you know what, in arguments? It's totally off topic. If I have something to say to my fiancé, I'm just going to write this down right now. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, quite often I have arguments and then I'll send a massive text
yes,
later.
Me too.
So I'm like, this is what I wanted to say in the moment, yes. but I couldn't get it out.
No, exactly,
yeah.
exactly.
Well, exactly that. So yes, yeah, so I started blogging for that reason. I love to write. But I think it's hard now because people see this huge, massive, glamorous side of blogging and Instagramming and YouTube. And a lot of people think it's all about the money and working with massive brands. And back then when I started 6 years ago, it wasn't. Not at all. And there was barely any money in it whatsoever. And I mean, that was never my driving force. I didn't think there was any money in it back then.
That's the interesting thing. You weren't driven by those types of things, whereas I think youngsters today perhaps would be driven in a different way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it would be hard not to be driven by
it.
Because
certainly.
It looks so glamorous. It looks so celebrity.
Yeah.
But back then when I started, I remember people talking about going full-time on their blogs. And I remember thinking, like, come on, be realistic. Like, that's never going to happen. Mm. And then suddenly all these brands were interested and were paying people to be their spokespeople, and it just became amazing. So it's really hard to say, but I think if you are passionate about writing or passionate about videos and you have something you want to say, then absolutely, why not go for it? Even if you just make it a hobby and you're lucky enough to make it a full-time thing, then fantastic. That's a bonus.
Yeah.
But I think I wouldn't want to be the person who encourages someone to do it as like a full-time.
And sacrifice their education, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I am the biggest advocate for people going into education.
Yeah.
Just because I was a lecturer.
Go for it. Yeah, I totally agree. As a lecturer, it must have been such an amazing transition to be the same age nearly as the people you were talking. I still get freaked out when I have people coming into my clinic obviously older than me or you're about the same age, and it's very strange.
It's amazing.
How did you feel at that time giving advice to people around the same age?
Do you know, it was really quite empowering, to be honest. And I had the most wonderful students. They were just, I mean, because it was a university in Manchester, it was primarily women actually, but they were all just so eager to learn about the topics, about fashion. And obviously I was so passionate about it. And because I was so passionate about digital fashion especially, that's kind of what I centred a lot of my lectures on.
Mm.
So I could just talk for ages about it. I was showing them YouTube videos.
Yeah.
I remember one time the night before when I was writing my lecture, I was watching a PewDiePie video.
Okay.
And it was one where he was doing like this Just Dance video and he was dancing and I was literally in tears laughing. Yeah. So I had to show my class the next day and I was talking about YouTube and how it's blown up. And I was just stood at the front of this class like laughing my head off.
I was so lucky to have you because you were kind of the lecturer that actually was with the times, and this is where it's gone a lot of the work.
Well, absolutely. And I was trying to encourage everyone to start their own blogs and you know, so I really loved that. But it was strange, the fact that, because I mean, I had a first year class, so they were 18, 19. I mean, some people were mature students as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But then I also had a master's class and it was maybe about 50 international students.
Oh,
and
wow,
they must have been almost my age, maybe 21, 22. Yeah. I was 24.
Yeah.
But they were all amazing and they totally just understood and they really embraced me as a lecturer. There was never any kind of fight back with anyone being like, well, she's not old enough to teach me.
Well, no, I think the fact that you're actually educated with experience, it's another thing I just have so much respect for you with, is that you've kind of grafted, you know. I can see that you have everything that you do comes from a place of pure love and
you know,
interest in learning, and it's actually really inspirational. And it kind of brings me on to how, you know, you are definitely one of the most read blogs out there.
Oh, thank you.
But what about when it comes back to staying in shape? You know, how do you respond to so much interest? And people obviously want to know, what do you eat every day? I mean, how do you respond to that?
So I'll be absolutely honest with you, because of how busy I've been the past 3 months. I haven't been to the gym in 3 months and I feel
really
lethargic and my body just feels like, oh, and I cannot wait.
Get moving.
Yeah, I've told myself October, I'm really going to get back on the fitness train. And I always find whenever I'm on the fitness train, my eating habits also become so much more what they need to be.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I think obviously the correlation between fitness and obviously your mindset as well, it does release those kind of happy areas in your brain that lights up when we exercise.
Absolutely. I find it the most, if I am just going to the gym, I feel amazing as soon as I leave, and then I'm like, right, I don't want to eat that. I want to eat this, and I don't want to eat lots of, I don't know, lots of sugars and things. I really get in this amazing mind frame. But then as soon as I fall off the gym, I always find I have about a week where I'm still eating well, but then I start to fall off of that. So I find the two for me go massively hand in hand.
Because obviously people must look at your kind of life and not realise that Instagram isn't a real world.
Yeah.
I mean, just to touch on that, it is a filtered world, and it is to create, I mean, how would you describe it? What is it there to do, Instagram?
I think it depends on the channel as well, because some people go for a much more dreamy look or more whimsical. Some people Photoshop their images so it looks fantasy even. I mean, I follow a few accounts, I love them.
I mean, some of the skies, I'm seeing people with like beautiful bright pink skies with gold stars or something.
Absolutely. And I mean, and it's meant to look more fairy tale. But then you've also got the girls that do fashion in the most raw form, and they're really cool, just simple iPhone shots with a bit of contrast on them, and they look super cool. So it all completely depends. I mean, I have a thing with my Instagram. I don't change the shape of my body in any way.
Which is really good to hear, because there's a lot of that, I think, out there. Unrealistic body images.
Absolutely. And I would never want any of my audience to feel like, oh, well, Victoria is really, really tiny.
Yeah.
She's not eating enough, or this isn't a good image to show her audience.
So when they meet you in real life, surely what astonishes me is if people are airbrushing their images and then they see you.
Yeah.
I mean, different person. Who would want that?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. So I don't change any of the size of myself whatsoever. I mean, I'm happy with the size of myself. To be honest, I've been this size since I was about 17.
It's a natural frame. And I think what people have to realise is that we all come in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
And aspiring to look like one specific person, we should be more focusing on ourselves and our inner happiness. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Do you find social media can be quite a dark place? I mean, for you, comparing, even at the level you're at?
Absolutely. Even though I'm quite happy with my own body, there are things I'd like to change and things I'd love to shape up a bit and tone up. But honestly, there are times when I look at other women or models and their legs especially. I have an issue a lot with my own legs, and I always feel like I'd love to shape them up a bit, tone them up, I need to do more squats, that kind of thing. So quite often I'll look at other models' legs and sometimes I'll compare. And in the end, sometimes, if I'm in a good mind frame, I'll be like, do you know what? I'm not built like they are.
Yeah.
They've not got my genetics.
Yeah.
If I want to get a bit more toned up, I can. It's all on me to do it.
We've got the head on. And it's very interesting because I think every single one of us, and I had Lisa Snowden in the studio the other week, and she was talking about her modelling experiences and how it is extremely difficult when you are surrounded by people that may be taller than you, different hair colour to you, maybe more tan, more toned, whatever you hear.
Absolutely.
But it doesn't make you any less of a perfectly imperfect human.
Yeah.
That's the phrase, isn't it? Perfectly imperfect human. Yeah. I think that's what we should all be embracing. But for you to be honest and talk about that is so important.
Yeah, no, definitely. I would really hate to feel as though someone was looking at my images. Say if I Photoshopped my legs to be smaller, I would hate for someone to look at my legs and think, oh, I hate my body. I want to look like she does.
Yeah.
When actually, if that's in an unrealistic image, that's not achievable. And that person is after something that's completely unachievable. That's not fair. Because I don't want that for myself. I don't want to look at people's bodies and think, oh, I could get that. Yeah. When actually there's no way I could get that.
No. I mean, do you find it in a way of protecting yourself? Do you have to? I mean, what I do is mute a lot of accounts.
Right.
So I mute them or obviously unfollow, but sometimes you can't really quite do that. However, I find that if I don't see something, sometimes I feel a bit more protected from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I am one of those people that is like, if you're not happy looking at a certain account, even if that person is a friend, you know, it's just about your own mental health.
Yes.
Just unfollow or mute.
Totally.
In fact, I mentioned this in my book, actually. I've got a bit of a thing about
I'm so excited to talk about your book.
Thank
so
you.
So excited. So do you discuss this in there?
Yeah, I do. I talk about tips for kind of Instagram happiness and ways that you can enjoy Instagram without feeling bad about yourself.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's kind of the way it's going recently and it worries me.
Isn't it? It's so needed and it's almost quite scary because we never used to, back in the day, I mean, even when I was at uni, there was no Instagram.
Yeah.
So how on earth do we live in a society where we can see anyone now? We can see anyone anywhere in the world and what they're doing. It's not normal.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It really is.
Whereas now that is the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And we all have to adapt to it. So we might as well have someone like you helping us saying, well, this is going to help you adapt to this crazy new place we're in right now.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Because to youngsters growing up, they don't know any different.
No. And it really is such a different world now. I can't get my head around it and where it's going to go, especially.
I mean, in terms of the fashion world, because obviously I find it with nutrition, I worry a lot about perfect images of food and aspirations to eat what somebody else has eaten, you know, anecdotal kind of stuff.
Right.
Do you find in the fashion industry there's a similar kind of thing with the way content is curated? Or I don't really know how to...
In terms of fashion, I mean, I've seen a lot of these images recently of people in stores buying cereal. Have you noticed that? This cereal trend?
Yeah,
people buying American cereal.
What is that?
I'm not sure. I think that it's kind of like the pizza trend. I feel like it's a big pizza trend as well right now. And to be honest, I've done a couple of pizza pictures.
Yeah.
But
we all have pizza every now and again.
I ate the pizza. The pizza that was in front of me. I ate the whole thing twice, three times in Milan. I had like three pizzas.
But you must see people that do that and don't.
And
obviously.
Don't eat. Yeah, I mean, I've been at restaurants and seen people do that. Order things, take a picture and get up and leave.
Oh, goodness.
Leaving a whole plate of food.
I mean, it's upsetting.
It's awful. It's awful. It's the same with breakfast foods. I mean, you must have seen those beautiful tables of food and breakfast things.
Yeah.
And I do it too. I order a big, like, lots of different things for breakfast, take a picture, but I absolutely eat it, that's for sure. Like, me and Alex just devour the whole thing.
Yeah.
Nothing is left.
I mean, do you and Alex get time as well? I mean, does he cook for you occasionally as
well? Do you know he does? He cooks more than me. Because of how busy I seem to have gotten these days, I actually loathe cooking.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, that's taking time out of me working. It's a bit of a battle now.
It's not therapeutic anymore for you.
No,
it's become an extra
time-consuming
thing.
Yeah, unless I bake. I like to bake.
All right.
Still.
Yeah.
But again, only if I have actual free time and if I've not got any like big projects in my mind.
Yeah. Or the food's not going to go off because you're going away in 2 days' time or a week. So
precisely.
How do you keep your fridge stocked? And it's all these different things.
Well, I mean, if I'm baking, it usually gets eaten the entire that night, to be honest. But no, Alex does cook for me and he's actually an amazing cook. He's really experimental with his flavours. He never really follows guidelines. He just kind of throws in things he thinks will work and he's really brilliant.
It's amazing to hear. And I think, obviously, because he's the photographer, you know, you've got such a good kind of dream team going on there.
Thank you.
Do you find now you're a businesswoman? It's official and it can be a little bit daunting to hear that kind of word, oh, I have a business.
Yeah.
But you handle it so well. You've got the book coming out. Can you just delve into a little bit about how the book came about?
Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know there are a lot of kind of YouTubers and bloggers out there who have written books that have all been fantastic, so many bestsellers, that sort of thing. And to be honest, I never really could think of a topic that I really wanted to cover for a book. So for a couple of years, I said, no, I really wasn't
interested. Which is amazing, because in my head I'm thinking, but there's so much you could do.
Well, yeah, I just really wanted to get myself into something that I loved and I was really passionate about. And then I got chatting with my team and we came up with this idea. And I was like, you know what? That's perfect for me, because it's kind of a continuation of what I did for my PhD, very much digital fashion, a bit of mobile, a bit of where everything's moving.
Brilliant.
And straight away, I was like, oh my gosh, I love this. I want to research it. I really want to talk about this. Mm. And from there, I wrote a proposal, like an intro, a couple of sections of how I imagine it would all run. Sent them off to publishers. Luckily, a couple of publishers came back. I chose HarperCollins because they really got what I was going for and they loved it. And then, to be honest, I only had 3 months to write it.
Oh my goodness.
So it is the quick.
It's stressful writing a book, isn't it? When you get the edits back, and I remember that moment thinking, oh my goodness, every word I say in this book right now is there forever and forever and always.
Yeah, absolutely.
What can I do? And I remember reading it, and almost I was so sick of reading mine at the end of it that I think I skimmed a bit too much. You know when you just think, I should have spent every single word should have been scrutinised.
Yeah.
Did you feel that pressure at that time?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I really, really enjoyed it. Like, I really want to write a second one.
Yes.
Because to me, it felt like writing 40 blog posts, because it's kind of 40 sections in the book.
Yeah.
It felt like I was writing blog posts, and I still love writing my blog.
Aww.
So I enjoyed it, but there were the pressures of the deadlines.
Oh, of course.
And making sure everything was on time, because I very much wanted to make sure we had enough time for the editor to go through and check all the grammar and punctuation and everything, give it back to me, and I would go through it again and double check it. And I mean, it got checked a few times, and still, like, on the last time, I found spelling mistakes that I'd forgot I'd missed.
Yeah, well, me too. I remember. It was like, well, you're thinking, how can people keep missing these things?
I know.
How? But I guess it's because human error, isn't it? We're just not perfect.
Exactly.
And still now, sometimes there was, I think, in the first edition before they reprinted them, there was a spelling mistake in my book that, you know, people were pointing out to me. I'm like, I'm really sorry, but
I know
we obviously all missed it.
Because I remember when I was reading out the audio. Did you do an audio book as well? It's such a long process, isn't
that
it?
Takes a long time. That's stuff that we worked on. And I think before, because obviously there's so many questions from so many people to bring to you, but before I ask that, how do you switch off? What's your thing?
Recently, I've been having baths, and that's really helped.
Now it's getting
colder,
isn't it? It's nice.
Yeah, just having a really chilled out bath. And I find that after that, my mind is a bit like, do you know what? I don't want to work. I don't want to open my laptop. Whereas usually, I would work until 11:30 on my laptop.
Yes.
Whereas now, if I have a bath, I feel really relaxed and I sleep better.
Yeah.
So I'd say that. Otherwise, it's me and Alex going out for dinner and chilling. But to be honest, a lot of the time, because we work together, we start talking about work.
Oh, I know. I find that really difficult. difficult sometimes because there's so much going on in your life at that point. Yeah. How do you not talk about it?
Exactly.
There's a fine line, isn't there?
I know. And sometimes we do have to say to each other, like, okay, that's enough work chat now. Mm. Let's talk about, you know, family and the wedding. The wedding especially has been good because we can talk a lot about that
that's
now
good.
And what we want to do for it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, I think just me time with a bath, maybe having like a book at night or a magazine to flick through. Oh. That's my best way.
Well, wonderful. Well, I think we've got some kind of really diverse questions here. Ooh. That came in. So Nina has asked, as a mother of a teenage girl who idolises you, that's really sweet. I wonder how much importance you place in being a teacher before a blogger.
Well, I mean, I would never want to tell any of my audience something that was incorrect.
No.
So if I've been to a show and I'm talking about the designers or something like that, I would want to make sure it's correct because you never know who's watching and who can critique you.
Yeah,
and you don't want to end up on these forums where someone says, oh, Victoria has no idea what she's talking about. my Instagram and my blog especially, I love kind of giving my own advice and tips and ideas for styling and all that sort of thing.
I mean, that's the next question. Alex has said, I'm meeting my boyfriend's parents next week. What should I wear?
Oh, gosh. I mean,
you've never seen Alex before, what would you do?
If she likes dresses, I would say a gorgeous little tea dress.
Good idea.
Something that's not too over the top, maybe a little bit floral and pretty, kind of midi length. She could wear some calf length boots with them.
That's a nice idea now as well.
Yeah, it looks quite mature but beautiful and shows that she loves fashion and she's quite fun.
Excellent. I love excellent answer. Yeah. Maria has then asked, how did you get so many followers? I'm sure you're asked that all the time as well.
I think consistency is a big one.
Yeah.
Consistently posting on the blog and on my Instagram for the past 6 years.
6 years. Goodness me. It goes so fast though.
Yeah. And I think as well, it's a lot of engaging with my audience. Like I really do try and chat with as many people as possible. I get back to pretty much every single DM that I get.
And that's incredible to hear because it can be, I know DMs can be exhausting if you don't have time, but it's just so nice to be able to help people.
Absolutely. And just the amazing comments and feedback I get from my followers, it really does lift me up and it keeps me kind of motivated and wanting to do more. So actually, I love going through my DMs. Aww. If I'm having a bad day and I read through and someone's telling me.
Oh, just pick you up.
It really does. It kind of re-inspires me. So
that's lovely. So Lucy has said, what's the biggest lesson you've learned as a girl boss?
Oh, that's so
I know, these
sweet.
Are such nice questions coming through for you, I'm telling you.
Do you know, I would say, having been at Fashion Month this past month, I would say that being a friendly, warm and genuine person will get you so much further in life.
Yes.
It really will. The amount of like cold people that I can come across sometimes and they don't really get my persona and the way I am because I'm very warm, very friendly and
very
chatty.
Open. Yes. Yep.
Some people don't like that sometimes.
No.
And I really feel that if you're just a genuinely nice person, you will get so much further in life.
Agree more. Kill them with kindness. That's
absolutely.
The old saying there, isn't it?
Yes.
So we have one more and this is from Gabrielle. And she has said, how do you get your favourite brand's attention?
I would say, I think on Instagram, it's a lot easier. It's a lot easier now with Instagram.
Yeah.
So, for example, say if you want to work with NARS and you love NARS, I would say maybe invest in a couple of products. I mean, don't go crazy because I know they're expensive, but maybe a couple of your favourite products that you'd really like. Maybe do a tutorial or maybe... Now I'm getting excited.
Love it.
Find their latest release. So, for example, for NARS, it's their Climax Mascara.
Okay.
You could buy that. You could do a look with it, tag them in it, you know, tag them in the caption. Chances are that they'll see it and they might be regram you or at least the PR will see you and then you'll be on their radar.
That's such a good idea. So definitely get genuinely involved with the thing that you love and the brand you love. The more engagement, the better.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for answering those questions.
Of course, I love it.
We're now moving on to one of my favourite parts.
Okay.
This is the quick fire round. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Victoria, here we go. What is always in your fridge?
At the moment, a lot of champagne, but otherwise, oat milk and soya milk.
Such a contrast.
I know.
Champagne or oat milk or soy milk. I love it. You can only have one kitchen gadget. What would it be?
Toaster.
I love it. Signature homemade dish.
oh, I make this amazing pasta with spinach and feta cheese when I'm on my cheese.
Yum.
And it's just delicious with like pine nuts.
Mm. Oh, I love pine nuts.
Yeah.
Yum. Right. Favourite restaurant? It can be anywhere in the world.
I would say my favourite restaurant is Australasia in Manchester. Ooh. I love
that
it.
That was really quick for you to. Everyone else on that question has been like, oh, there's so many.
Yeah.
That's obviously a good one. I'm going to go check
it's
that out.
It's beautiful. I
Australasia,
love it there.
Australasia.
Australasia in Manchester.
Sounds good. One food you can't live without.
Oh, gosh. It would probably have to be chocolate, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Vegan chocolate especially is my favourite. It's delicious.
Got you some on bar in the bag. strangest food you've ever eaten.
Oh, right. I used to eat, Alex always teases me, when I needed a sugar kick, I would eat golden syrup on crackers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was really bad for me, but I was obsessed with golden syrup on crackers.
Nice.
Ridiculous.
Oh, funny. So in that case, what's your go-to healthy dish in a rush?
Ooh, healthy dish in a rush. It would have to be something salad-y based. Like, I love tuna niçoise. Cucumbers, egg, like gorgeous rocket and spinach leaves. That's probably my favourite thing.
Lovely choice. Who is your biggest cooking inspiration?
Ooh, okay. There's a few really. I mean, I love Jamie Oliver.
Yes,
Nigella is amazing.
She's trumping at the moment, Nigella. She's up there.
In fact, she was recording her audiobook back when I was doing mine recently.
That's so cool.
That was cool. So I'd probably say those two. And I mean, you can't beat Delia Smith, can you?
No, you can't. You really can't. I totally agree. I grew up with a good Delia recipe, like weekly.
Yeah.
What is your favourite childhood treat?
It was eating the cake batter out of the bowl when Mum made Victoria sandwich.
That is just the best, isn't it?
Yep.
You cannot go wrong with licking the bowl.
Cake batter is just delicious.
Yep, I totally agree. Okay, this one's the last one. What is the last thing you tried for the first time?
Oh, it was probably something a bit weird, like frog's legs or snails, because Alex loves to eat random stuff.
So he tries everything.
And he makes me then try it.
Yeah.
And I usually refuse, but I'm pretty sure last time it was like, try a bit of this. And I was like, right, okay. I think it was that.
Hilarious. Okay, well done. Excellent
answer. I love that.
Now, with every podcast guest, we finish on what we call our food for thought.
Okay.
So mine today, to give you an example, is going to be that as you are here with us, I think it's timely that we share the biggest recent study of how long we all spend looking at our phones. And on average now, apparently it's 6 hours every single day.
Wow.
Now, I don't want to say that everyone has an unhealthy relationship with their phone, but the evidence is definitely stacking up that social media, as we've discussed, can have a negative effect on self-esteem. So my food for thought today is that keeping your bedroom a phone-free zone is a really good thing. I mean, the screens emit blue light. That can actually put a brake on melatonin production in your brain. There's a lot of research coming out now with our sleep cycles, and it basically fools your brain into thinking that it's still daytime when it's not.
Yeah.
So all that time scrolling means you're probably missing out on the recommended 8 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But with a magical 8 hours sleep, you will have a lot more energy throughout the day. And research suggests it means you can have the best possible chance of maintaining a healthy, balanced diet.
Oh.
So if you could leave our listeners with one thing, your food for thought today, can be anything. It can be a tip or something you want them to think about.
Oh,
I know, I'm putting you on the spot here.
Oh, gosh. I would say, probably just to continue for what we've been saying, is just really try not to focus too much and take it too seriously when you're looking at social media.
Yeah.
There are a lot of girls on there, I mean, especially girls, I mean, there's guys as well, but there's a lot of ladies on there who are also comparing their body types. They're also trying to create a perfect image. And in a lot of the cases, they also have low self-esteem.
Yeah.
And they're also comparing and they're also unsure. So just realise that no one has it all figured out.
Yeah.
Everyone is kind of striving for their own kind of body healthiness and who they want to be. Don't ever feel like you have to compare yourself or be a certain person. You know, just kind of love yourself more, show yourself more self-love, take more time for you and to appreciate the things that make you so wonderful.
Aww.
And just really focus on being the person you are and making yourself more healthy mentally and physically. And then, and I think that's all there is.
Well, I think that's an absolutely lovely food for thought to have, Victoria. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's very important that we talk out about these things and then we all realise we're all in the same boat at
absolutely.
The end of the day.
Definitely.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing
you.
That with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll absolutely love my next guest. So click subscribe to be the first to hear it. And remember, a bit of extra guidance and advice may be all it takes to help you become the healthiest and happiest version of you. In my part handbook and part recipe book, Renourish, A Simple Way to Eat Well, you can follow the structure of a session with me in clinic, gaining the confidence you need to create delicious, nourishing meals at home with my Renourish menu. Check it out on Amazon or all major bookshops. For more information about me, my clinic, recipes, events, health retreats, and so much more, please visit Retrition.com and follow me at Retrition on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Here I am with a friendly reminder, fruit and vegetables are part of a healthy, balanced diet, and they really do help us stay healthy. It's so important that we eat enough of them. However, the NHS says 75% of us in the UK still don't eat the recommended 5 a day. For a few, that's an easy feat, whereas for others, I know hitting the goal can be a little trickier. What's interesting for me is that some vegetables stand out from the rest. I love spinach and kale. Both are great sources of vitamins and minerals, and are Hex key ingredients in their super green bangers that go perfectly with my favourite scrambled eggs on toast. Try something different for breakfast and check out heckfood.co.uk or the major supermarkets to give them a go.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.